So this morning, I just really am excited. I love Christmas. I love celebrating Jesus because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of all Lords and the very best present and gift anyone throughout all eternity will ever be able to have. And he chooses to come as a gift to us. But God, in his way and in only the way that he can do it, works in the background for a very, very long time before he surprises us with Christmas, with the time that we can celebrate the coming of the King. Now, I personally absolutely love surprises. I am a yes to surprises, but it's a little bit tricky to surprise me because I've been given a gift by God that helps me to see into the future. So this is a hard thing for my family to do. And, you know, it's a hard thing as well to surprise the church because God says that he will what? Tell his prophets what's going to happen before it happens. But hey, we all know that a good surprise takes a lot of background work. And I wanted to talk about the surprise of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. A lot of background work. If people want to surprise somebody, have a surprise celebration, a surprise party, which is what happened when Christ came, they have to have a lot of logistics going on in the background, a lot of planning, a few integrous, righteous people who do not give away the secret of the surprise, and then a whole lot of supernatural stuff happening for it all to come together. Surprises are amazing, and God is absolutely epic at bringing about a surprise. So I wanted to jump in to the Word. And oddly and interestingly, our first jump in is in the book of Daniel. So Daniel chapter 9, if we could go there straight away. I love how the Lord brings together all the different people who are bringing something and the songs and everything to give a message that he hopefully wants us to receive at Christmas time. So Daniel is in exile. He's been taken out of his land, out of Jerusalem to Babylon. He is a faithful man of God. We know lots of the stories that have been repeated a lot. Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel praying when he wasn't supposed to be praying, Daniel not eating what he was supposed to be eating because he is keeping himself for God. He is a righteous man. He is a faithful man of God. And amazingly enough, Daniel starts to have these ridiculous visions and dreams and encounters. And today we introduce Gabriel. Now, Gabriel is an amazing messenger of God. He is an angelic being who stands, according to the word of God, before God. He stands in the presence of God. And God has a message through Gabriel that is all about the good news of glad tidings of joy. Good news, glad tidings, and joy. And I think God's trying to get a message across to us this morning about joy. He came to bring joy, a joy that's abiding. Anyway, so we're going to pick up in verse 20. So we're Daniel 9, verse 20. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. Crazy thing. Here he is. Here's a man of God confessing on behalf of his people who had sinned and asking them, negotiating with God if he would give them back their land and if he would forgive them. We heard last week about a man who negotiated with God for more and more people into a situation that was almost impossible, but God said, no, I will meet you at your negotiation. Isn't it an amazing thing that we can talk to and petition and stand before the God of all creation, the God of every little thing that exists on the earth? This man is standing before him asking, and here comes swooping in the angel Gabriel. He calls him the man. He's in front of him there. So he says, he instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to you to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out. A real encouragement for our intercessors. How's that word? As soon as you began to pray, a decree from the kingdom of heaven went out across the earth. Don't you love these storms? I know not like up north, but I absolutely love the earth and everything showing itself, shouting and giving thanks to the Lord at this time of year. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. This man is highly esteemed in the kingdom of heaven, but he's living on earth. Why? Because he is a faithful follower of God, regardless of being in exile, regardless of his circumstances being difficult, regardless of his life being under threat, he still honors God. So this here it comes very interesting. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. In verse 24, 70 sevens are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. God, numbers. Interesting numbers, 77s. No one understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, listen to this, until the anointed one, the ruler comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. And after 62 sevens, got to get your maths on this, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end. The desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the 7, he will put an end to the sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Interesting. Very interesting. He's speaking very strongly to this man of God, this prophet of God, this faithful man of God. And basically, if you want to know what the good news that this man, this Gabriel, has brought into the room, you have the full gospel, the good news, in 3 verses. The anointed one will come. The anointed one will be put to death. The anointed one will confirm his covenant, the new covenant, not the Abrahamic or Mosaic covenant. He will confirm the new covenant. He will bring an end to sacrifice and to offerings, because what he becomes, the final sacrifice and the offering. Andrew spoke, he came as an offering to earth. And then it says at the end, until the end that is decreed is poured out on him, he will overcome the work of the enemy once and for all, forever. There is your gospel message spoken hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. Isn't it crazy how God has been setting this up? Now, we know this character, Gabriel. He's quite interesting. He appears many times throughout the word. And obviously, he is a powerful messenger sent from God to what? Decree what we are celebrating now. The good news of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. God is so amazing. We're going to skip forward about 483 years. If you go and do the sevens and the sevens and the seven, seven, sevens, and you find that all out, you will see that that prophecy has come to pass exactly as it was stated. It's historically stated, a historical truth, that the time that Jesus went into Jerusalem on the donkey was the exact amount of days that was prophesied in the book of Daniel. Not his birth, but when he came back into Jerusalem. Remember, he was talking and he was praying for Jerusalem, for the city of Jerusalem. So such an amazing man of God standing before God. But I want you to skip forward in the word and let's go to the book of Luke. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, we're in the book of Luke. And we are in Luke chapter 1. What I want to do today is just do a quick fire through. Won't keep you long because I understand there is a lot happening today. And the story that we're about to look into now at this time, in this place, there were a lot of things happening. Many people had been brought into a city to have the first census. There were the shops were full, the streets were full, and it sounds a lot like what's happening right now for all of us. And so I don't really mind the full shops and the full streets, because it's like everyone's coming together and they're all doing stuff to do what? To celebrate Jesus Christ. the birth of Jesus. So when I see the ramping up, it's like, yes, Lord, this is so exciting. This is people from the very islands all the way around the world. In the next 48 hours, we'll be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, and we'll be celebrating what God has said about that. So Luke 1, let's go to verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before the Lord, and they were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. That's quite something. It's quite a harsh thing and a hard thing to do. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were born well in it. They were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense, maybe frankincense, when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Oh, gee, here he is, back again, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Because it is a fearful thing to stand in someone who's carrying the very presence of God. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." Can we just stop there for a second? He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. When God comes with surprises, he does surprising things. It is not in our doctrinal fashion to think that a child can be filled with the Holy Spirit in a mum's womb. But hey, let's keep going. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and in the power of Elijah," what's that all about, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Divine messages are sent by God to give to those who walk blameless before the Lord very specific messages. We cannot, in the kingdom of God, knock out the issue of angelic forces coming and speaking and giving very specific messages, because ours is not a kingdom. It is not an earthly kingdom. It has very little to do with the earthly kingdom. It has everything to do with the kingdom of God. Also, he gives specifics. So I am personally a person who absolutely believes that God, through his Holy Spirit and through his messengers, gives strong specifics. He gives specifics about dates, about times, about names, about purposes, and even about the results of the person's life. So this is, why do I believe that? Because I see it in the Word of God. In the Word of God. So do not be restricted. Do not be restricted by man's fear. If God is giving you a specific word about a specific place and a specific person and a specific calling to go to and do a specific thing, listen and do that. Because look at what happened here. Amazing. Amazing what God does. So, verse 18, "And Zacharias said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years.' And the angel answered him and said, 'I am Gabriel.'" Who? Gabriel, same dude, "who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring these glad tidings." Good news of glad tidings. "But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Whew, that's a little bit harsh. That was like 2 seconds ago. He was just like, how's this going to happen, Lord? He's like, you're going to be quiet now. It's like, because you're just going to hear me, and you're going to listen, and you're going to do what I say. Wow, that's a little bit full on, isn't it? So God confounds the natural man and the natural rhythm of life. I am coming to you. You're going to receive a child. You're too old to have a child. Your wife is not in childbearing ages, but yet that's actually going to happen. So when God comes with surprises, he shifts the natural rhythm of life. Also, there are consequences for unbelief. And that's just, you know, we all know that. There are consequences. If God says something, we're in his kingdom, we can have a consequence for unbelief. And Zacharias' consequence is not terrible, but it just really helps him to think and to understand and to hold on to what God has given him to do. So, 21. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. When God appears to people, we know it. It shows on them. They carry it. They're carrying something from the Lord. Verse 23, so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, he departed to his house. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. So, my reproach among people, when God comes and when he blesses, he chooses who he will to bless. God is not a respecter of persons. And God proves by his loving kindness against the shame and guilt that the world would put on people. He comes and he takes that off and he shifts things for individuals. God is so kind and so merciful. Now we're skipping into Christ's birth. Now, in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel popped off to another city. Man, he's just able to go anywhere, anytime, because God is not restricted to location or to time. So he's in the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And it's like, what? Gee, what is this? Imagine a young woman engaged to be married. She's blessed. This angelic being is before her. And he says that she's highly favored. Why is she highly favored? Well, we assume, it is not said, that she is a follower of God. And maybe she's a faithful follower of God. But she is highly favored, but because she is by association going to be in a marriage covenant with a man who happens to be the 76th descendant of God himself. This is favor. Sometimes we have favor because of our own families, and other times we have favor by association of who we are with. So this amazing lineage of Joseph, her betrothed, he is the lineage of God. 77 generations down will be Jesus. How's God? His numbers, 7 sevens and 7 sevens and 77. We know that 7 is God's number. However, this is just off the charts. So we see God, Adam, Enoch, Methuselah, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, David, Simeon, Levi, Joseph. This lineage is in Luke chapter 3. If you want to see it, you just pop forward and have a look at it. Wow, this is somewhat of a heavy-hitting lineage. And she is favored. She is favored by God because she is actually coming in by a covenant to be part of the lineage of the God of all the earth. Amazing, amazing. So, who you associate with and who you choose to marry is pretty important. Pretty important. Think about it. Young people over here, think about it. Make smart choices. God can bless you. And there are generational graces. We often hear about generational curses, but there are generational graces. And this favored young woman is stepping right into a massive generational, heavy-hitting grace. So amazing. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, forever, forever. And his kingdom, and of his kingdom, there will be no end. And we know this is a fulfillment of Isaiah 9, which says that of his government and his peace, there will be no end. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. We are celebrating this week the birth of the Son of God. And no matter what you think about timing, as a kingdom person, this should be one of the greatest celebrations in our calendar year. And that's why we do all of this eating and enjoying each other's company and doing family, inviting people off the streets and going out and blessing people, because this is the birthday of, as Rory was saying, the Ancient of Days. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, linking the two, and this is now the 6th month for her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible. God's surprises prove that nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing at all is impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to what your word." That word had been declared. She's in agreement with the word, and the word then becomes flesh. It starts to manifest in the natural. From what? The Holy Spirit coming upon a young woman, and then therefore he is the father of Jesus. He is, God is the father of Jesus. The angel departed from her. We're skipping now to Luke chapter 2. So it's Christmas. We're hearing the Christmas account, reading that out. So amazingly, the order of things changes by God's hand and by God's anointing. When God comes upon somebody, we've heard this many times, God just, the kingdom of God, we heard from the children's song, is within, but he also comes upon. So that within is that relationship with God, but that upon is for something. There is a purpose why God comes upon us. And that's for empowerment to do what God told us to do, because God is not a weirdo. He doesn't tell you to do something that he's not going to give you the power to be able to do. But God is kind. Our God is a benevolent, all benevolent, kind and caring God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we are not under the whip, under having to do works, under having to do all sorts of things. This is our God. He is a God of grace. He is full of truth and he's full of grace. Amen. So we are in Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David. We've just heard that. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Interestingly, God will move the leaders of nations, whether they be his or not, to act in accordance with what his surprise and his plan is. This census was specifically created so that Jesus would be born in the prophesied and foretold place. Amazing. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. How interesting is it that we sing that song, you know, that he was late in time? It's actually not really true. Songs are great, but they're not always true. He was perfectly on time. He was right on time. He had to be born on that exact day so that he would enter Jerusalem on that exact day. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. It's like Andrew was saying, sometimes, you know, we say, oh, the three kings, you know, we three kings of Orient are, you know, but they actually weren't three. There were a few more. So, you know, there are a few things that come through tradition that aren't quite on the money, but hey, there is grace around those things. But I want to just go back into the story of Mary visiting Elizabeth. This is a section of the two ladies coming together before the birth of Jesus. And I want us to look, at Luke 1, verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. How out there is that? We've just heard that there will be this John. He'll be already anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit. And this babe leaps in her and mum gets filled with the Holy Spirit. There is blessing when God's word comes, not just for the person that he's speaking about, but for everybody associated with that blessing. And how is this? It's so out there. Then she spoke out with a loud voice, as Elizabeth, and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." She's blessing what God has already said. "But why is this granted to me," this is Elizabeth, "that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Have you you considered this? Like, we read this quite quickly, but have you considered this? It would be kind of like this. I'm going to use some of our people as an example. People know these people. We have a lady in our community who is with child, just about to give birth, and her name is Steph. And it would be like, Shireen is Steph's auntie by marriage. We know that. And it would be like if Shireen was herself, had a child. Shireen, give me grace on this one. She's at the back saying, I haven't had my children, thank you. But in her old age, and she went to visit, and Steph went to visit with her. And then Shireen said to Steph, why have I been so blessed? Because God has come to visit me. That's what that looks like. That starts to look very fascinating. Because actually, what she's saying is you are carrying God. Proving over and over and over again why this is such a significant event for us as believers. And for the world, actually. Because it actually dictates what will happen and what does happen in time and history. And she says, why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord should come to me? When God is organizing surprises, everything shifts. Everything that we know of natural order and everything that is worldly and of the worldly thinking system is completely shifted and turned around. Topsy-turvy. I was looking at Justin's shirt today. He's got a shirt with a Father Christmas who is surfing. And I'm picking this as totally Aussie stuff. But on the one of them, he's upside down. Father Christmas is upside down surfing. I said, wow, that's exactly, you know, like the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God turns the natural on its head, and we are confounded by it because we are mere people. But this is God. And God is displaying and evidencing himself to us over and over again. So if things become a little bit topsy-turvy in your life, when God comes and gives you a mission or a child or whatever it might be, trust in him. He is safe. His surprises are safe, and he knows what he's doing. He proves himself over and over again. Here it is. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. For joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her Lord. Amazing. These two amazing stories intersect. Gabriel foretells the birth of Christ. The birth, the walk, the death, the sacrifice, the end of all sacrifices, and the end of all days. If you skip back in Daniel a few books, it is a really good, mind-bending read about actually how the end of the world will come and the second coming of Christ. But Gabriel says to him, when he speaks about the anointed one coming, he says, don't think too much about that right now. This is what we're thinking about. And for us, it's probably a good message. Yes, we know that Jesus will return. It has been prophesied. It will happen. But let us rejoice and be glad. Let us be present. It's a time of lots of presence, but let us be present in what God has given us right now. And let us be open to the topsy-turvy way of the kingdom of God, which is very different from the kingdoms of this world. Amazing and exciting. So we know that there was no room in the inn for Mary. We're skipping to chapter 2 and verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Apostle Rory was speaking to us the other day saying many of these shepherds were young teenage girls, actually. We always think, oh, old men. No, some of them were young girls as well, which I thought was an interesting fact. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them. Now, it's not 100% clear, but it's almost certain that this was probably that same angel whose task was to bring good news of glad tidings, because he says something interesting. And the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. To all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace and goodwill towards man. God's intention is peace and goodwill towards all men. He sent Jesus that all should be saved. All should be saved. An amazing declaration. And we know the story. The angels are there to give a message, but then a whole angelic host starts to sing with the shepherds. How exciting it is when heaven and earth meet. Not when they collide, but when they meet. How beautiful it is when heaven and earth meet. This is the beauty, this is the joy that Jesus invites us to. He invites us to a meeting between him and ourselves personally. And I want to encourage you, if you have not known Jesus, please at the end of the service come up and have a speak to any of the people sitting here at the front rows, second row there, front rows here, and ask them about Jesus. I want to encourage you that when Jesus came into my life, he collided with my life because I was resisting him. But then we met. And since I have met Jesus, I have never turned back. Why would you? Why would you? Why would you turn back from the one who created you? Why would you turn back from the one whose image you were created in? Why would you turn back from him who called you in your mother's womb, who knew you before you were in your mother's womb, and who has an intentional purpose and plan for your life? Not only that, who whenever you meet with him, he is full of love, full of kindness, full of truth, and full of grace. This is the one that we are celebrating. This is our Lord. He is awesome. When he comes with a surprise, everybody is affected. Everybody is affected. When Jesus came, the whole world changed. Everybody was affected. The grannies, the children, the shepherds, the kings, the magi. Everybody was affected. Everybody knew that there was a mark in history. And in fact, today, our calendar that we live by is according to Christ. We live in the year 2023 because of Christ. Amazing. Amazing. This is our God. How powerful is he? The amazing thing is that God's word comes into existence and shows us a better way. And this is what we're celebrating. We are celebrating God's word, the word, coming in flesh and dwelling amongst us, coming as what? A little vulnerable child. That was a surprise. That was a surprise. Everyone thought he's going to come as a king. I'm not sure how they thought he was going to grow from being a little baby to a king without being born as a child. But that's what happened. He had to be born as a child to grow and to become a king. And that's what we do when we celebrate this great and amazing day, because we know we're not celebrating a natural birth. We are celebrating the very birth of God on earth. 2023 about. It's a lot of birthdays. It's a lot of birthdays. And every year, the gospel message goes out for anybody who would. We're talking about missions now. The mission of God to send his son was so that the lost and the dying and the sinful world would have an option to start again, to be born again, and to live in eternity. Isn't he so, so good? I want us to stand. I want to just read out the declarations of both Zacharias, who then gets his voice back as he obeys the Lord, and then I want us to hear the song of Mary. Mary sings a song as a result of Gabriel's message. Zacharias brings a prophecy as a result of Gabriel's message. I'm first going to read Zacharias' prophecy, then Mary's song, and then we're going to have a time of joy and celebration and morning tea together. There will be a space for people to have prayer at the front. Should you like to have prayer, should you like to know a bit more about Jesus, should you like someone to agree with you, and possibly you might have something going on in your physical system and you'd like to have prayer for healing, we will definitely do that. So let's see this. In verse 67, we hear Zacharias' prophecy. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel. This is our declaration as Rivers Apostolic Center. These two things are our declaration today. For he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been made since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, speaking about John, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy. Our God is good, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. I love that word. The day spring from on high has come to visit us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Here is Mary's song. Here is the mother of Jesus who carried our Lord and Savior. This is her song. I won't sing it. I'm going to read the words, and you might like to sing it later. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me and his holy name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. This is our God. Hallelujah. Happy Christmas, everybody. Here comes the rain. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing and rejoice and worship him. Thank you, Lord. We'll take that.